Great morning, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Thank God for Monday. I'm Brother Greg Cellini of the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn and the Office of Mission Ministry Interfaith Dialogue at St. Francis College in beautiful Brooklyn, New York. My great pleasure to be back with you today. The purpose of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to inspire you, our audience, to take personal responsibility for your professional satisfaction. We want to provide you hope, healing, peace in these unprecedented, turbulent, uncertain times, motivate you to search deep inside yourself in the quest for fulfillment. Listeners, it's really up to you as how to utilize the information we provide today, take full accountability for the decisions you make, and a resulting outcome. Now, one of the goals of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to introduce role models of people who take very bold steps in their work life. This is a very special time in the workplace and the world when the need to be inspired has never been greater. As such, we are honored today to have with us a very, very special guest. Her name is Elisa A. Schmidt. Elisa is an award-winning Latina entrepreneur and professional journalist. She is the founder and CEO of 30seconds.com, an inspiring digital media platform with millions of unique users every month that makes the world a happier, healthier, and more delicious place 30 seconds at a time. She's the founder of iParroting, a best of the web digital media company that was acquired by the Walt Disney Company. And she is also the author of the very timely and informative book, Become the Fire, Transform Life's Chaos into Business and Personal Success. Great morning and welcome to Thank God for Monday, Elisa.
Thank you so much, Greg. It's wonderful to be here with you today. Thank you.
The honor is all ours. Kindly share from what city and state you're speaking from today, please.
Well, it's the very lovely Chicago, Illinois, where last week it was in the 80s and today it's in the 30s. snow on the ground.
They don't call it the Windy City for nothing.
That's right. Uh-huh. You have to be resilient to live in Chicago. Yeah.
That's for sure. Sorry to say we've only got about 30 minutes. We could spend hours talking with you about your background, your life, your great book that you've written, so many other things. We're just going to jump right into the deep end of the pool. Let's start here, please, Elisa. In this especially challenging economic climate, why do you believe women and Black, Indigenous, and people of color, also known as BIPOC, can find success? Why are you so optimistic? Help us out, please.
I definitely am because, you know, the premise of my book is basically, you know, turning life's chaos into success, which really means to me embracing our challenges and embracing our differences, the things that make us unique. And many of those things are the struggles that we go through, which give us these strengths and lessons that we can then leverage going forward for greater success. And women and BIPOC clearly have have been through so much. We go through many challenges that others don't. And so that really, you know, we can look at those as, you know, unfortunate, you know, difficulties, or we can look at those as incredible lessons that, you know, teach us and make us more, you know, resilient and stronger and wiser. And so that's why I feel like now more than ever, this is sort of our time to embrace our differences as not only our strengths, but actually our superpowers, and let that fire, as I described, you know, chaos as fire, let that fire serve as fuel to drive us to greater success.
That is so wonderful and very motivating. Now, let's talk about visionary, because visionary can mean different things to different people. What do you mean by being visionary? Do you mean people like Oprah Winfrey, Steve Jobs? Please explain more on this, please.
Yeah, I think the word visionary, it definitely conjures up these images of these larger than life people, right? Like Oprah or, Steve Jobs. But in fact, I feel that anyone can be a visionary. A child can be a visionary. A mom can be a visionary. An employee can be a visionary. It's basically about looking at the world around you through the lens of making it better. So if you choose to, be very sort of what I call situationally aware, that means, having this awareness of things that are going on around you and seeing problems, whether in your own life or in the lives of your family members or your employers, what do they need? What are the challenges that need to be solved? How can you provide a better solution? That's what being visionary looks like. So you look at the world around you, you identify the problem, and then you come up with a solution, and then visionaries take action. So that's why, really anyone can be a visionary. It's just about sort of tweaking the way that you look at the world and then taking action to make something happen.
I have to share with you, if you don't mind, that you just conjured up memories of my wonderful late mother. Because when I was growing up, one of the things she talked about often was the environment. This was back in the late 60s, early 70s. And some of the biggest fights, it's going to sound very silly, we had were over how much paper towel I was using. And she said, Greg, Holy Mother Earth, the environment, it's really important you be much more intentional. And you know what? She was exactly right. She was a real visionary. And it's indeed how you say that a mom can be visionary, because my late mother certainly was.
I
And
love
you're
that.
right, we don't have to be famous people like Oprah or Steve Jobs to be visionaries. No doubt about that.
I always think about the child who colors outside the lines, right? And we say, no, color inside the lines, kind of restrict yourself to just that vision. But in fact, maybe this kid is seeing something greater. And he says, well, if I, color blue over here, I'm going to make a whole different picture. So we have to, give ourselves, our children, and ourselves really this permission to see life, through our own very unique lens.
That is so beautiful. Now, already, Elisa, you've mentioned the word a couple of times, resilience. Why is resilience especially important in 2023?
Oh my goodness. Well, as you said in your introduction, we are in these unprecedented times, right? There's just turbulence and change and so much comes at us. You wake up every day and you just don't know what's going to, what's it going to be? I like to tell, the story just literally a couple of months ago, we woke up and a massive oak tree fell on our house. Literally. I know.
Oh no.
It's just not what you would expect to happen on any given Monday, right? But resilience is realizing that the tree is going to fall on your house or something else is going to happen. The tire is going to go flat or, you might lose your job or something that's going to trip you up that you need to be able to deal with in the moment and on in any given moment. And so be able to experience whatever it is, the fire in your life, and then obviously to bounce back from that and come back stronger. So today, more than ever before, Greg, it's so important that we be resilient, that we be nimble, that we be adaptable so that we can, stay strong in the face of these challenges and this turbulence and these constant fires and be able to not only navigate, but, come out stronger and continue on our path undaunted.
It's so interesting you mentioned about losing a job. I had a 29-year career in pharmaceuticals and now about 14 years in higher education. And I was lucky to survive many downsizings and then was eventually downsized. But even in higher ed lately, there are some downsizings that have been taking place. It almost seems like more and more people in 2023 are facing these downsizings. You're much closer to the world and the workplace than I am, Elise. Is this what you're seeing as well, this uncertainty, even of losing one's job?
I think, I am, but I also think that it's always, is, you know, that's always going to be there, this undercurrent of, I think that once upon a time, there was this thought that working at a big company meant you were going to have job security for the rest of your life, right? You were like, my dad worked for the same company his entire career. And I'm like, wow, how does that work? Because now with my kids, I have kids now just starting out on that path and they're already, one, two jobs in, in their early 20s. So it's the opposite. So my point, I guess, is that I think that that thought that you're going to, work at one company and be sort of taken care of for the rest of your career is just, it's just not, that security isn't there anymore. So there's actually a whole chapter in my book devoted to this thought of being capable and building a viable career or a viable business. And I think that's what we constantly have to be doing is keeping in the back of our minds, whether we're working at a company or we're building a company, that we have to be viable as people and as businesses. So whatever that means, whether that means acquiring skills, continue learning, stay curious, advance your knowledge and your depth of experience, volunteer to take on assignments that are difficult because you know that you're going to learn something and then that's going to add to your capability and your ability to be viable. And the same thing, as an entrepreneur, I'm constantly trying to, advance my skills, stay up to, on the latest technology, always keep up with the advancements that are going on, which is constant, as you know, because otherwise you may get left behind and you don't want to be in that position where you're not up to speed. And so therefore you might be the one that gets let go. So yeah, that's my greatest advice, is just to keep up with everything.
Well, those are some great nuggets there. And it's ironic because when I think of working for one company for a whole career, I think of my late father, for 45 years at Chase Manhattan Bank.
Oh.
And you're right. When he was there, it was just the thing to do. You worked hard. You really had a job.
Yes. For life.
I heard a report just the other day that J.P. Morgan Chase, the successor to Chase Manhattan, now has more people in Texas than they do in New York.
Oh,
so
my
you're
goodness.
Right, it's amazing how jobs move and
yes.
how it moved, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
Wow. Now, one of the things you talk about, I have to smile about this because I would never have thought of this phrase. You talk about, quote, becoming friends with failure.
Yes.
I never would have done this in my time in the corporate world, and even hesitant to. What are you talking about, please? What's the key to all this, please?
Yes. Well, I think that fear comes into play here too, because we're also afraid to fail. And so in my view, failure is life's greatest teacher. When you fail, you've just learned one way to not do something. So it has informed your next step in the journey. Failing does not mean that you have to quit. Failing just means that you've tried one way that doesn't work. So absorb those lessons, see what you can take away from it, and then leverage it as you go forward. And, you now know one way not to do it. So try it a different way, or try it, this way or that way, or, get those skills that I was talking about to try to advance yourself to achieving whatever it is that you want to achieve. So fail. One other sort of side note to that is not only becoming friends with failure and learning from failure, but fail fast. So as an entrepreneur, that's one of the things that we talk about, is when you're building something and you're trying to put something into the world, try to learn quickly, right? As opposed to, get that failure sort of out of the way so that you can, keep going. So that's one of the things that I like to talk about, is failing fast and then growing from that failure. So definitely. Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying. That makes perfect sense. I have a confession to make, if you don't mind, Elisa. Mm-hmm. I have heard several people in the last year or two use this phrase, fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
What do you think of all this, please?
Well, I think that that's a very, trendy thing to say or to think, is that, okay, if you're not quite where you want to be, you know, the idea is to fake it till you make it, or pretend that you're confident, or pretend that you've already made it until you actually make it. And by doing so, I think the theory is that you will sort of give yourself this sense of confidence that will then enable you to get where you want to be. And I don't quite buy into that, because I don't believe, I think there's a, you know, you can only fool yourself and fool other people for so long before you have to actually, you know, walk the walk and not just talk the talk. Sure. So yeah. Right. So my advice is, I use the analogy of the Wizard of Oz, and how he had this curtain, right? The Great Wizard of Oz had this, you know, curtain, like, don't look behind the curtain, right? That's kind of like faking it till you make it. So I always say, like, just ensure that you don't need a curtain by kind of those things that I was saying, you know, knowing your skill set, you know, having those experiences, you know, and the way to build confidence, because that's one of the kind of the follow-up questions that I get is, well, if I can't fake it till I make it, but I'm not yet confident, like, how do I get that confidence, right? And so my answer to that one is that confidence is built sort of step by step or goal by goal. So start with small accomplishments. You know, if you're a mom, for example, I like to use that one, you know, you're out of the workforce for a while. Maybe start to volunteer to do things at your child's school, and, you know, do a project for the classroom. And then next, right. And then you're successfully achieving that. So maybe next you're going to do a fundraiser and you're successful at that. I mean, every step builds your confidence, accomplishment by accomplishment. And you get more and more confident. And so therefore you can take on bigger and bigger goals. And that's how you build confidence without faking it till you make it.
Oh, that is so wonderful, because to me, and again, I'm a 64-year-old baby boomer at the very, very end of my career. So I'm not going to fake it till I make it. But because to me, it sounds disingenuous, certainly, yeah. No question about it. And I think what we want is that, as you've talked about, the authenticity of people, no doubt about it. Now, if it's okay with you, I want to circle back to something we talked about at the beginning of the interview, but I want to peel the onion. I want to go deeper here, because it's clear there are significant barriers women and BIPOC face as they seek success. What are some of these barriers we should be aware of? How can they overcome them, please, Lisa?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, one of the things that, as I was researching for my book, that there's a lot of studies that are being done in this area, and which is great. One of them was that I cite is by McKinsey and Company. They do this women in the workplace study, and they have found for the last 6 or so years, the same trend, which is that women in BIPOC, you know, there's what they call a missing rung on this ladder to success. And So basically, I know it's very frustrating. So, you know, fewer women and those of color are finding it, easy. It's never easy, but, you know, they're not able to climb that ladder to the same extent that their white and male counterparts can do that. And so the result of this is fewer of, you know, women in BIPOC in management and senior leadership positions. So this is very frustrating. And so, you know, what I sort of, that for me, I advise people to look for companies that are not only sort of talking the talk of, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion, but actually walking the walk. And so one of the ways that you can see if a company has a good program is by social media. You know, social media has its, you know, pros and cons, but one of the things that I like to do, you know, on sites like LinkedIn, for example, is see what companies are posting and what are their values? What's important to them? What are their priorities? One other thing that I want to mention about that, in terms of diversity, equity, inclusion, is that companies that emphasize those themes, those priorities, both in senior management and on their boards, do better financially. So this So it makes perfect financial sense that, you know, companies would want to sort of cure this broken rung on the way, you know, up the ladder, and to put more women and BIPOC into positions of leadership so that they have this diverse board or this diverse team that they can have a diverse bunch of viewpoints feeding into the decisions that they make, because it makes successful, it makes financial success, you know, sense. So yes, and that's why I always am encouraging, you know, looking for those types of companies and working for those types of companies, because we want, you know, those are the ones that are looking to succeed anyway. They're going to be the more successful companies anyway.
Sure, absolutely. This is so brilliant. I never would have thought of this, but just an investigation of the board and of leadership to see what that composition is will speak volumes. As you say, it's easy to talk the talk, much harder to walk the walk. Now, something else you mentioned before, Alisa, curiosity.
Yes.
We haven't talked a lot about curiosity, and thank God for Monday. Why is it important to stay curious, please?
Oh my goodness. This is something, you know, curiosity has driven me, I would say, for 99.9% of my career. It's what started my journey as an entrepreneur. And why it's so important is because by being curious and looking at the world around me, sort of, as I mentioned before, with this, you know, through this lens of how can I make it better? That's also how I define leadership, by the way, is leadership is this notion of inspiring yourself and other people to make the world a better place. And so going back to curiosity, you know, looking at the world around you with these kind of wide-eyed, you know, wanting to understand or wanting to solve or wanting to make life better. That's how I look at the world. And that's why I was able to see this need during my first pregnancy for a pregnancy magazine, which then evolved into a pregnancy website, which then evolved into a parenting website. And so it just grew.
Wow. Oh, it's amazing.
Thank you. Well, it just grew from there because of my own personal need, my own curiosity about what was going on, you know, in my life. And then I found that other expectant mothers were also wanting this information. They were also curious. So that's how the first business came about. And then the second business, very similarly, I was then a, you know, a very busy mom of three and needing quick and easy tips and solutions. And so I got the spark for the second business, which is started out as 30 Second Mom, just all about quick, easy content, you know, that moms could view in 30 seconds or less. And it's evolved into a, you know, much larger digital lifestyle media platform that's now, as you know, called 30seconds.com. And it just is all about, you know, providing that same helpful information, but across a wider variety of content channels. So yes, it's all based on, you know, being curious and wanting to know more and solving problems and passing on great information.
Absolutely wonderful how you seized all those great opportunities. No question, man. Sadly, believe it or not, we've only got about 7 minutes. We could talk all day. About that. I still have a couple of important questions for you, though.
Yes.
One of the things that you talk about is a phrase I've heard, but I really don't understand. I'm not sure our listeners do as well, is this side hustle.
Yes.
One, what is a side hustle? And two, it sounds like you recommend starting one.
I do, because I think a side hustle, so what it is basically something that you do in addition to your main job. So let's say, you know, you work at a bank, for example, to use, you know, one of your examples, but you are passionate about music. So maybe you start a side hustle, you know, either consulting about music or playing music or, you know, something that's in your area of passion or interest, but you're still working at the bank because you have to pay the bills and you know, you're wanting to advance that. And you don't want to risk losing your main job by taking a you know, sort of a flyer on this, you know, music business. So that's what a side hustle allows you to do, is to test drive this idea, this concept before you know, would to leave a full-time job or even to leave staying at home with your children if you're a stay-at-home parent. So you can do a side hustle on the side of that as well. So it's a really low risk way to test something out in your free time. So yes, I definitely advise that for whether you're a parent or a non-parent, you know, just to explore something that is your passion, but that you don't feel that you're quite ready to jump into full time.
It's very fascinating you mentioned about testing. It sounds like it's a good way to test the marketplace to see if there really is
Yes.
a demand there and how much you
Exactly.
can make from it, et cetera, et cetera. Oh,
Yeah.
that's fascinating. No doubt about that. Now, Mother's Day, believe it or not, only a couple of weeks away. I don't know
Oh
about you. I can't believe how fast this year is just progressing along.
Yeah.
But did you say you have three children, a couple
I
of children?
yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh,
Yes.
what blessings. Now, how do you overcome work-life balance? And what advice might you have for our listeners who maybe are working moms as well or have a couple of side hustles and are trying to
Yeah.
balance everything? Help us out, please,
Oh
here.
my goodness. Well, that is never easy. And I think work-life balance is just such a, I don't know if it's a fallacy or a dream or a hope or a wish, but I don't seem to ever achieve a perfect balance. But you focus on, let's say, the family, and then the teeter-totter goes down in that direction, and then you focus on the business or the career, and then the family's up in the air. And so I just constantly see it as this teeter-totter that I'm trying to balance, which like I said, never truly achieving balance. But the way that I've done it over the years is by sort of trying to find opportunities where the two can collide or mesh together. For me, that's meant, whether I take an important call in the nursery or whether I'm taking a business trip that I turn into a family vacation, or finding ways that those two things can coexist. And I'm very, very lucky in that my business has sort of always kind of been family friendly, right? It's about pregnancy and then parenting and then mom stuff.
Oh, wow.
So I've tried to blend the two, which again, I'm very fortunate in that way that they're all sort of commingled anyway. But yes, it's something that I think requires dedicated focus and intentionality. Like you have to really sort of intentionally decide. And also, one of the people that I interviewed for my book, Winnie Park, who's the CEO of Forever 21 fashion retailing store, she said, really interesting comment, which is, stop keeping score. Because if you feel like you're constantly, getting ripped off in some way because you're putting in so much time at work and you're spending less time with your family, like that's a recipe for resentment and unhappiness. And so she
Oh,
said,
wow.
right? Isn't that true?
Yeah.
You really can't keep score. You have to, sort of embrace the fact that this is, my life. And then, whether you get up early to get your workout in for some self-care, or, take off a day, whatever it is that you feel like you have to do in order to keep the scales a little bit more, tipped in that balance. She says to do that, but really the key in her view was to stop that scorekeeping, because you're just always going to feel like you're losing. So that was a good, very good tip.
So interesting you mentioned this because I teach a class most semesters, and the students tell me now that really social media has become more and more damaging to them because they feel they have to keep score against other people. And of course, naturally, everyone's putting their best foot up on social media. And gee, their life is so perfect, and mine's a mess, and this and that.
I know.
I
That
remind
is
them,
so true.
we're all about beauty and brokenness. We can't have
Yeah.
one without the other. But
I like that.
yeah.
Yes, I like that a lot. But you are so right. I mean, and social media definitely has, its good sides and its bad sides. And I think that's a wonderful message that, you're sharing. Thank you.
Thank you. We saved the most important question for last, Elisa. From where can our loyal listeners purchase Become the Fire? How can they best follow you, please?
Oh, thank you so much. Well, the easiest way to find out about, the book is the book website, which is becomethefire.com. And there's links to the various ways that you can purchase the book, whether, you're an indie book shopper or an Amazon book shopper, the Barnes and Noble, they're all on there. And then I have an author website, which just, I keep a personal blog, which is elisaschmitz.com. And then finally, we welcome everyone to get inspired, be inspired by going to 30seconds.com, where we have all of those lifestyle tips that I was mentioning. So thank you for asking.
Terrific. Listeners, I want to make sure you have the proper spelling of Alyssa's name. It's Elisa, Schmitz, com. You know I'm a terrible reader, listeners. This book was written, even I couldn't read it. Please do yourselves a favor, buy a copy, but buy more than one copy, please. Lisa here this morning, a great Franciscan, she didn't hold on to the good, she shares the good. Now it's your turn. Buy a copy for yourself, buy a couple of copies, share the good with others. This is the kind of book that will transform. I learned so much from it. I'm
Thank
sure
you.
you will as well. And most importantly, I'm doing things differently. I'm sure you will as well.
Thank you.
Alicia Schmitz, we can't thank you enough for this great interview this morning, these wonderful nuggets. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being a guest on Thank God for Monday today. We've been enlightened. We've been very inspired this morning. So continued success, joy, happiness, and an early happy Mother's Day. Enjoy
thank
it very, very much.
Thank you so much for having me, Greg. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
The honor was all ours. Listeners, guess what? Once again, we're out of time. Greg saying our hope and prayer is that when you wake up on Monday morning, just like Elisa does, you'll say, thank God for Monday. Until next week, everyone, have a great week. Bye-bye.